皆さんおはようございます。 That's not how you do it over here, is it? That means good morning. Pastor, you missed one. Danny's here too. And you all know Danny. He's the son of Ray and Georgia Landis. And I'm just so tickled to have my nephews and family here. Just as a great time. One good thing about coming to the States is I always get to bring the greeting. And that is the last Sunday that we were there at Grace Bible, Yamaguchi-san, before he left, he came back into the house and said, would you be sure to greet the people at Trinity Bible Church? And it seems like every time I come, I'm reminding you all how important you are to us. The prayer and your support, your thinking about us is just so vital. And I know sometimes the communications may not be enough, but your prayers are really felt and noticed over there, so don't grow weary in well-doing. We really appreciate it. Before we look at the scripture this morning, look at the message, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the joy that you give us in our hearts. We thank you so much, Lord, for the skill with which you're able to just apply your word, the way you're able to sanctify us through your word. And every time we open it, we feel like we've been cleansed all over again. Father, we pray that you'd speak to us this morning, not that we might gain more knowledge, but Lord, through that knowledge that we might draw closer to thee. Because we've discovered through your grace that the happiest place we are is when we're camping right at the foot of the cross of Christ. Father, we pray that you speak to us this morning. And thank you for each one that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin the message this morning with a short introduction and give you three short points in the message, in this introduction. First of all, the definition of terms. In the bulletin, it's written the remarkable similarities between the first and second creations, and possibly it could be also the striking similarities between the first and second creations. Well, what is the first creation? And by the first creation, I mean the first 6 days of God's creation, the physical creation. And the second creation is the creation of a new heart or salvation. And secondly, I want us to, so we're really on the same page, talk to the issue or understand the methodology of God. Unless we understand that, there's really no need to go on. All God's methods are perfect. So he doesn't ever need to change along the way. For our methods, because we are imperfect, what we had yesterday as a method, we have to change today because it doesn't quite fit. But God's methods are always perfect. So when God began to create things for the first 6 days, the secret was out. This is how he creates, whether it's physical life or spiritual life. Oftentimes we go through the first 6 days of creation and we're really amazed at what God did. But really, I feel the issue there is God was telling us in the world, this is how I create. And again, whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual. And this way of creating has never changed, be it physical or be it spiritual. Now, the third point in my introduction is where our glorifying God begins. Lately we're seeing, or maybe not lately, but for quite some time now, we often hear about the importance of glorifying God. But oftentimes we equate that is more of an action. But when we look at Scripture, glorifying God always begins with the knowledge, a right knowledge of Him first. If we have a correct knowledge of God, the action will follow. But oftentimes, in order to convince ourselves that we're Christians, we act like Christians. But then if we're questioned about what do we know about God, we have many question marks. So today, this morning, the emphasis is on what do we know about God, and especially as it pertains to the first and second creations. Psalm 14:1 says this, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Romans 1:28 says this, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God," that's in the heart. Hosea 6:6 says this, "For I desire the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So what we're going to be talking about in the next few moments has to do with our knowledge of God. We have the same problems in Japan as you have here. And that is, we're all very good at attending church, but how many really know God? And when we begin to know God, where is the first place, or how does God first begin to give the sinner knowledge of himself? That's through the vehicle of salvation. So if our salvation or understanding of salvation is twisted and warped, we're not going to have a good knowledge of God. I was going through the passages recently that I'm speaking on this morning and was amazed how similar the method of God for creating the first during the first six days of his creation, the things that he created, how he did it, is the exact same way that he creates new life within us. And so if we want to understand in simpler terms how God creates a new soul, go back to the Garden of Eden. Go back to the first creation. What I've done in my notes is this. I have several pairs. The first creation I have in black letters, and the second creation in red letters, corresponding to each other. And I want to take you through some the important parts of the spiritual creation and see how the methodology of God in creating new life within us is exactly the same way that he created life on this earth. First of all, Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And John 1:3 also says this, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." That's inclusive of all life, be it physical or spiritual. And here is the question. How would God, by his word, and of his own volition, and of his own strength, create physical life, then way down the road, when Christians are born, he would include us in the creating process? It doesn't fit. And yet, when it comes to the spiritual life, we think that we have something to do with it. But God's methodology never changes. How he created life in the beginning is how he creates life within us. So this Genesis 1:1 passage and the John 1:3 passage, I have in black letters. The second creation corresponding to this is found in Ezekiel 36:6. "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will put within you, a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. We must understand, when it comes to the creation of spiritual life, it is God that's doing it. Just as it was only God that created everything in 6 days. He doesn't change his methodology. It doesn't have to change. He's a perfect God. So when he created all those things that he did in 6 days, he was telling the world, this is how new life is created. It's through me. And yet, our Christian society, we have many, many believing mistakenly that God, though he did that, when it comes to my spiritual creation, I'm kind of included, whether it's 1%, 5%, 10%. And this mentality and this thought is so pervasive within our Christian society, even in Japan. Now we go to the second part in this message this morning, and this is in black letters. Genesis 1:2, the beginning. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. What does that remind us about the second creation? What's the corresponding verse? Ephesians 2:1-2. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We were without form and void, being dead in trespasses and sins. And I think we all can prove that in our lives. We have all come from different backgrounds. I came from the home of a missionary family, and yet it had nothing to do, or it could do nothing to push me towards the kingdom of heaven. I was born without form and void. I was born dead in trespasses and sins. The third point comes from verse 2b, Genesis 1:2, the second half. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What verse corresponds to this one? This is in red, John 3:7-8. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Oh, dear soul, when God hovers over the soul, when God hovers over death, there is life. When His Spirit hovers over us in death, there is life. The Spirit hovered over everything that was without form and void. And that's really our condition, isn't it? Or wasn't it? It's this work of God that we anticipate. It's this work of God that we hope for. And nothing else. Not our ability to explain it. Not our ability to cross all of our T's and dot our I's, but it's this hovering of the Holy Spirit that we look for. We don't know when it's coming or where it's going. But when that Holy Spirit hovers, there's life. The fourth point in this message, Genesis 1:3. And this is in black also. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And what's the corresponding verse? John 1, 4 through 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. All of us who are believers have experienced this power of the light of Christ. And maybe this morning, some are going to experience it for the first time. Darkness cannot comprehend it. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we lost a lot. And that is, our eyes cannot follow speed. There's a certain limit to where our eyes can follow speed. But if our eyes could naturally follow the movement of light, what would we see? We would see where light just pushes darkness away. When you flip on a light in a room, the light is pushing the darkness away. When the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is commanded to shine in our hearts, it pushes darkness out. Just in these three verses, we see a great similarity between our new creation and the first creation, and thus the first and the second creation. But that's not all. And this possibly, the next point, possibly may be the very most important. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And we know, having looked at the scripture oftentimes, we know what this plural us means. That's the triune God, isn't it? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the triune God was equally present and moving in the creation of man, in physical man. Can we see corresponding verses that tell us that the triune God is equally involved in our spiritual salvation? I think we can. Ephesians 1:4. God the Father, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You know, I never really did understand a triune God until I understand how he is ever present in my salvation. And I think this is probably the window or the first step by which God really gives us an understanding of the triune God. And I don't mean perfectly. But we're able a little bit more to compartmentalize each person of this Godhead. What does the God the Father do for us when it pertains to our salvation? Way back when there was no timepiece, he chose us. When I was a little boy, we'd go to the neighborhood elementary school. And we would play there on a hot summer day. And on the way home, it was always a stop that we liked to visit. It was a well behind some people's home that they let all the neighborhood kids drink out of. And the well was deep. And you could pump and pump and pump, and the water would never come up. So what they had was, they had a little can off to the side full of water. And you'd pour that water in to prime the pump, and then that would help get the water up. God did not need a prime. God does not need us to prime his pump. God chose us, and that was his portion. That's what he was involved in. to get the ball rolling towards our salvation. And when I say get the ball rolling, if God chose us and He's eternal, we were eternally in His mind to begin with. How is the Lord Jesus Christ involved in our salvation? God the Son, Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I don't know any other church that probably uses this verse more than Trinity Bible Church, but it's true, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, what did he come for? He came to definitely save his people from their sins. It was no haphazard movement or plan, but there's a purpose. And there's a song, a verse I like to repeat over and over again. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly who he was going to die for. Just as the triune God was equally involved in our physical creation, they are equally involved in our spiritual creation. And when you understand these two great events, the physical creation and the spiritual creation, suddenly the Bible becomes one book. The Holy Spirit, how is he involved? 1 Corinthians 2:10-12. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Why do we continue to desire to live the Christian life? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. What continues to move us in this society that's so full of temptations to stay the course? It's the Holy Spirit. Why do we not give up? It's the Holy Spirit. Because there is a reputation at stake here. And that's God's reputation. And it's the Holy Spirit that begins to work in our hearts to give us understanding. And for me, though it wasn't an audible voice, it was just as powerful. Tim, you need Christ. Tim, Christ is the one that can erase your sins. Christ is the one that will introduce you to God the Father. And you need Him. And when He speaks, we call that effectual grace. When I was looking at these comparisons, I was so amazed how the God of the first 6 days of creation is the exact same God as the God of the spiritual creation. And his methodology has not changed, and it will never, never change. We see so many churches trying to attract people by things other than the truth, by music, by little groups, by parties. But it will always be the same. God's methodology will never change. Be it in Japan, where a different language is spoken, no matter where it is, his methodology will never change because he is a perfect God and it need not change. We remember this story of Nicodemus, don't we? And in light of this, I was looking again at John 3. And the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus something. And he said, if you're not born from above, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. If you're not born of water from the Spirit, which is speaking of the working of the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Then I was asking myself, what is the kingdom of heaven? Is it a distant land? Well, do we have anything in the New Testament that tells us what the kingdom of heaven is? Remember, when the people were looking for the kingdom of heaven, what did Christ say? Basically, I'm standing right in front of you. When we are born from above, when God creates a new life within us, we see the kingdom of heaven summarized and wrapped up in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the first time, we know who He is. We perceive, we understand. And it's not through a self-gained knowledge, but it's because we're born from above. God is faithful to His birth. And when the Holy Spirit works, we enter the kingdom. What does it say about the Lord Jesus Christ for believers, our hope? We are in Christ. We can see Christ, and we are in Christ because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans tells us in that first chapter that God's divine power and Godhead is revealed. And how is it revealed? Or can be seen? Through God's creation. Could it very well be that when we endeavor, we try to understand the mysteries, the wonderful mysteries of our renewed heart, that we ought to go back to His creation? But there's still a problem. So many Christians want to believe that I became a Christian because I raised my hand. I became a Christian because I reached out to God. Well, dear soul, go back to the Garden of Eden. Do you see Adam reaching his arm out of the ground? That's inconsistent with God's creation, how He does things. Adam didn't jump up out of the ground and say, okay, I'm ready to be come a man. So that tells us it's impossible for a believer to be saved that way. And I feel that this is the main battle of the church that we're in today. Always, always understanding and having a right knowledge of God. See, if we are given such knowledge, God gives us the works to follow it up. And we face the same problems in Japan because we all come from the same stock, Adam. Now, it's my hope for Grace Bible Chapel, and it's my hope for myself that these truths will always be so dear to my heart. And by this knowledge, we will continue on in this Christian life. Once again, reviewing, in the beginning, God. And Ezekiel tells us, I will give you a new heart. Genesis 1, 2, the earth was without form and void. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were without form and void. And then what happened? The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God hovered over our dead souls. And the result was coming to a saving faith. And then, along the way, we see the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, "Let there be light." And you know, I think those are the very same words that God commands to the heart of an unbeliever. Let there be light. and there is light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot win. And then we see, in review, of course, how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are equally involved in our salvation. That God that created all things in 6 days, that very same God, with his word, the very same way, creates new life within us. Because he's a perfect God, and he doesn't have to change his methodology. Now, a few years ago, at family camp, I did a deal on the Japanese or the Chinese characters. And I'll remind you again that where it says the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, that Chinese character has three mouths. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And underneath those mouths is a kanji character for king. And praise the Lord that he's hovered over our hearts. How can we ever take credit for it? And we might have a real good background. We might come from real good backgrounds. I did as a missionary. So, but that has nothing to do with what God intended to do in this sinner's heart. And so, it is by such a knowledge first that we glorify God. Before we say anything, before we say one word, do we glorify God by the knowledge that we have. That's where glorifying God begins with. And oftentimes, when there's not that knowledge, we cover it up by playing church. We call it kyokai gokko in Japanese. We play the Christian, and it's a cover-up. But the knowledge, that's what the Lord desires. It's the heart that he desires. And so that's my prayer for myself, and a prayer for all believers, it should be. Just because we are physically alive is not proof that we are spiritually alive. The masses, many, many people, unsaved people, they assume because I'm physically on this earth, and I can move, I can see, I can do all these things, that must mean that I'm spiritually alive too. That is the great deception. We are incubators of spiritual death until the Holy Spirit hovers over our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit, in that unseen breeze, blows over our hearts, there is no man, woman, and child that can reject that breeze. I've often wondered, I think probably God created wind in order that we might understand the moving of the Holy Spirit. Well, Romans tells us that we see his eternal power and Godhead in his creation, and we can't see wind, but we can sure see where it's blown. And we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can sure see where it's blown. So our knowledge, what do we know about God? Paul always prayed that we would have grace and knowledge. And so that's my hope for myself and for all of you this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to have given this wonderful truth. And yet, Lord, how we're so convicted in our hearts because somehow we just feel that we have to have a part of the credit. And Lord, you've taught us in the very, very beginning of your word, you let your secret out. You told us how you created things and how you continue to create. We thank you so much, Father, that you created all in 6 days. And though we botched it, again, Father, you created new life within us. How can we ever take credit for it? Thank you, Lord, for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.